All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a real blessing to be here again with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit. Lord, give us wisdom as we open your word. Again, we just thank you for all you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That one phrase in that song we just sang is, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." You know, I think there's a verse they use in what they call the Romans Road that talks about not being able to do anything, being helpless, and it's simply by faith. And they built a doctrine out of not of our works. And so people have become proud in that doctrine that they can come to God with just the way they are and how they are, and he will just accept them. And that is about the farthest thing there is as far as that pride in that as there is to actually being able to come to God. We see this in, you know, just the thought of that in, you know, in, we see it in the Bible, the idea of just coming to God helpless and not with a pride, but with a real humility, a real desperation, a real clinging, a real reaching out. You know, the woman that had received the healing, that was in the big crowd, and she had a disease for years, and she just thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know, that took effort. You know, whenever it says not by works, it's not talking about effort. Whenever it talks about it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, it's talking about an effort. And that is not works. I've looked at that verse. You know, it's not by works. Well, I'm gonna look, just go to that verse there. I think it's Titus chapter 2 is one. Maybe I'm not thinking. Or what verses am I looking for? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Maybe it is. Titus chapter 2. Sorry. Titus chapter 2. In verse 11 we'll begin. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust." That's not what I'm looking for. Where is it? Started there. "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of itself."
Ephesians.
Well, that's, there we go.
state.
Yeah. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's what I was looking for. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. This verse is used that there's nothing that you can do. That if you apply any effort at all to your salvation, then that's works. And that is not what we're, how we find salvation or healing or anything. The everyone in the Bible that was healed, you know, it talks about they put forth some effort to get there. They reached out to him. They sought God. But what they weren't doing were trying to avoid doing what they were supposed to and apply some religious act to that. That's what works is. When the Bible talks about works, it's doing something religious other than hearing God, or other than listening to God, or other than coming to God. We put on some religious performance, thinking that that's going to cover up everything that we're, our failures. And that is what the Bible calls works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Whenever we can conjure our own effort to come to God, that's what the works is talking about. Whenever there's something that we think we can do that will bring us closer to God. Some religious act that we do. It's not a result of those works. Because if it were, people would boast about them. And they do. They're proud of the things that they've done that hasn't brought us to God. It's when we can come to Him and we truly do come to Him. Just the way we are. You know, a lot of times we feel bad about because of what we've done, or our conscience is bothering us, and so it's trying to move us to a different direction. Those things are all efforts of something that will actually keep us away from God. We draw near to Him. We come nothing in our hands we bring. Just like the song said. You know, it's only whenever we just can come to God just the way we are. Nothing to brag about. We just come to Him just the way we are. Willing to let Him change us and conform us to His own image. That's when when it talks about coming to Him naked. And letting Him clothe us. That means we're just come to Him just the way we are. Not with excuses, not with whining about our failures, but just say, here I am, Lord. Take me. That's whenever we're able to get to God. That's these people that were healed in the Bible. They heard about a man that was healing. They heard the rumors that they say that the Messiah has come, or God has come in the flesh. They took effort. They came from, they gathered from all over. One of them had his friends take him up on top of a house and take the roof off the house and let him down in it. And Jesus said, instead of saying, well, that was effort, that was work, and rebuking him, he said, look at how great a faith this man had. Faith is when we're responding to come to God no matter what it cost. To come to God completely devoid of ourselves and just come to Him just the way we are and applying every effort that we can to get to Him. That's faith. You know, it's easy for us to have faith in our doctrine, have faith in our thoughts, or have faith in whatever we might think it is. You know, we have faith in the Bible. There's people all over the world that have faith in the Bible that don't believe a word of it. Whenever it comes to real faith, our faith is in this man that walked upon the earth, that was God in the flesh, that taught us who he was. It wasn't a religious thing. It wasn't anything. It was a man. And these people heard about this man, and they came from all over the place. Some of them come to be healed. And, you know, we think of that, you know, it might have been a little selfish just to have their body healed. But they came anyway. And some of them even had their souls healed. And that's what the real picture is showing us. You know, we're blind. I was caught up in religion. I was caught up in all of these things. And then the Lord gave me sight to see him. You know, there's people crippled and they can't do, they can't walk, they can't do a lot of things that everybody else can do. And it's a picture of someone being crippled in their spiritual life. Now, I thought last week, one of the thoughts I've thought about a lot during the week is walking with God. And here we have these pictures of these people who are invalids. They can't walk. And we can see that image of someone that's laying on his mat and he can't get up, he can't walk. And Jesus comes along and take up your bed and follow me. And he folds up his bed and he starts walking. And we can see that image. But the bigger picture here of what Jesus is trying to say is how many spiritual invalids there are in the world. People who have all of this talk of being religious, being very strict sometimes, being very bold sometimes, they can sing like an angel, they can do all. But when it comes to walking with God, they're a cripple. They're laying on a mat and can't move an inch. They don't have faith. They're not willing to come to him like these people did and just said, Lord, I can't walk. There's a song, I can't walk without Jesus. I can't talk without Jesus. There's nothing I can do. And I'm not talking about some just super spiritual thing. I'm talking about walking with God. Being raised from the crippled mat, being a cripple laying on a mat religiously, spiritually, to actually walking with God. You know, it's good for us to do good things and love our neighbors, but you know, there's a lot of people that can do good things and help their neighbors. People all over the world that are like that. You can do all those things and still not walk with God. You know, it's a good thing to be able to do those things. Be willing to. But if you're a spiritual invalid and you can't walk with God while you're doing it, you know, they can do all those things on one hand and then just do something completely wrong on the other hand. And it doesn't, that's where your works comes in. It doesn't, that's not going to work. Because it's that walking with God. Having our eyes opened. Being risen from the dead in some cases. You know, there's all kinds of churches that people talk about. Boy, they're good people. You know, the people say they're good people. You hear about it all kinds of churches. That doesn't mean they walk with God. There's a verse in Genesis chapter 5 that talks about Enoch. You know, we talked about our testimony this morning. The boys said, what do you want to be remembered for? You know, the Bible doesn't really mention Enoch too many times. But that's a testimony that ought to be striven for. Here was his, he had this testimony, the Bible says. He walked with God. What better testimony than that? Didn't say he was religious. He did a lot of good things. Doesn't say all that. He walked with God. You know, and if we just practice, pattern our lives after walking with God. The person that's completely crippled spiritually by sin, bound by things that, you know, is, you know what I'm talking about. The things that you do that after you do them, you beg God, say, oh God, I'm never going to do them again. And then tomorrow you go out and do the same thing. That's being bound. That's crippled by those things. That's where you got to humble yourselves and come to Jesus and say, there's only one healer. There's only one person that can set me free from these bondages that have hold of me. You know, feeling bad about doing something wrong is not repentance. Vowing to quit doing things that we're doing wrong is not repentance. You're still in bondage. You're just on a roller coaster of feeling sad and joyful. Back and forth, back and forth. But you're still bound. Jesus is talking about, the Bible is talking about the freedom, the liberty of someone actually getting to Jesus and touching his garment and being set free from those things that control us. Being set free from those things. Being touched and you jump up and start running instead of crawling and being carried everywhere. So that you can rise up and walk with God. That's what he's after. Sure. When you rise up and walk with God, you'll be looking out for other people. You'll be doing right things. You'll be doing good things. But it'll be because you're walking with God, not because you're just trying to do your duty of doing everything that's right. Like I said, there's a lot of people have that testimony that they helped people, that they did good, they were friendly. But there's not many with the testimony of, and he walked with God. That's the one we need. You know, I remember I had, you know, we see these miracles, we hear about them in the Bible, but they ought to be something that we know about that have happened to us, that we've seen times when God's hand just reached down and touched our lives because we were in a place where we were reaching out to touch Him. And I'm not saying you got to have a miracle and all those things, but I'm telling you, there, you know, God has not changed. He's still in the redeeming business. And a lot of us, grown up our lives, you know, where we just haven't really done anything wrong. So it's kind of hard for us to get to that place where we still see ourselves as empty-handed when it comes to God. Nothing to offer. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's how you walk with God. That's how we learn. You know, there's so many things today that bind us and control us. And God is just the same. God is more powerful than all of that. Jesus broke the bonds of sin and that power over us. And there's a realness to being set free. I've told you before, I remember after I started trying to follow the Lord, I used tobacco. And I'd started whenever I was young. And it was a habit. I could quit. Just pure old willpower for 6 months at a time. Then I'd get around my friends or something and just do it again and right back. It never had relinquished its hold on me. It had power over me. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter just tobacco or whatever it is. There's things in your life that have power over you. Come to the cross. Barehanded. There's nothing in my hands but getting a hold of Jesus and touching his garment and being set free from those things. I remember there was a preacher preaching at a Methodist church or a Free Will Baptist church, and they talked about being in bondage to something, and I had this can of Skoal in my pocket, and it was just like the Lord just went like that whenever he said that, because I knew I was in bondage to that nasty stuff. And I knew I was helpless. I just said, Lord, here it is. I just laid it right on the altar. And whenever I left church that night, I rolled down my window and I littered. And I don't care. I threw it right out on the street. And I've never wanted this stuff again. I wake up still having dreams that I've started doing it again. And it's not just that. It's anything in your life that's controlling you, that you don't have power of. Lay it down and get a hold and touch that garment. That's how we not only find Jesus, but it's how we walk with him every day. Those things that are controlling and binding us, that just keep us from in bondage, just an endless cycle of, oh, I failed, now I get up, I failed, I get up, I fail. Come to God, fail, come to God, fail. Say I'm sorry, get up, go back and do it again. Over and over and over again. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. And I'm telling you, there is liberty and there is freedom when you give up. That's where our will is at. Whenever our will gets to the place where, you know, when I fail, we take pride in it. We get offended. We get our feelings hurt because we failed. There's still too much of us in it. We kick ourselves because we fail. It's because we're still trusting in ourselves to overcome this. We haven't got to the place where we're saying, Lord, that's who I am. That's all I am. I am nothing. And I mean, we can, like I said, it's been the most, this doctrine that's out there that you just got to come to Jesus the way you are. You know, and it's, we take pride in that. And it's polluted the whole idea of actually coming to Christ just the way I am. You know, the people who believe in the easy salvation where you just confess all of these things and here I am. The premise of what they're talking about is real. But they've just put a phony religious face on it, and so we shun those things. But there's nothing wrong with coming to God just as you are, because that's who you are. But willing to let Him have everything. Willing to do His will and not your own. That's the goal. Not taking pride in knowing the doctrines well, but actually being able to come to God when you fail and say, Lord, this is exactly who I am, and I want something different. I want to walk with God. And you get up and you get a hold of His garment and you rise up and walk just like the man physically did in the Bible. He rose up and walked. We can do the same spiritually. Whether we can walk physically or not, we can spiritually rise up and walk with God. And that would be a testimony that not what men said, but this is what God said about Enoch. He walked with God. May that be our goal. Not that, boy, he was strict, he was religious, he was, you know, that's what Jesus came and he walked right past all those people that were looking down their nose that everybody was failing, that everybody who would fail. And Jesus walked by and he stepped down and he reached his hand out to pick them up. Because he was walking with God as God. And that's what he calls us to do. Rise up and walk. I don't know, whatever's binding us, get a hold of God. Lay it all down. Rise up and walk. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Thank you for the message.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I appreciate that.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. God bless you all. Depart in peace.